haven't really processed the fact that, you know, going back to another finals yet. I know that's where we're headed. I commend my teammates and my coaching staff and everybody that put the work in.
Yeah, just a 9th NBA Finals appearance for LeBron James, an 8th consecutive trip to the big dance for LeBron, and he punched his ticket to the 2018 NBA Finals last night in one of the most emphatic ways that we've ever seen. 48 of 48 minutes, 35 points as the Cleveland Cavaliers went to Boston, took out the Celtics, and are heading back to the NBA Finals. Welcome back to the Big Show. Pat Steinberg along with you, and happy to welcome in Dave Zarum from Sportsnet.ca. As up at Sportsnet.ca right now, a little bit of a deeper look into the numbers as to just how dominant LeBron has been, not just this postseason, but for the better part of the last decade in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Dave, really appreciate you doing this. Just 8 straight NBA Finals. When you think about the gravity of that, how does it hit you for LeBron James?
Well, I mean, it's wild. It's unfathomable. The thing is with LeBron is, and I don't know if you've had this experience as well, but for me, it's we're kind of past the point of like, you know, do you like him? Do you not like him? Are you a fan? Are you pro LeBron, anti LeBron? I think it just happened this postseason, despite all the other 7 straight years of reaching the finals, where I think everyone's kind of coming around to just appreciating how good he is and how kind of one of a kind of a talent he is and how cool it is to be able to his slogan is witness, and we get to watch him do his thing in his prime on a historic level. I don't know the next time we'll see anything like it. And that's the kind of thing that comes to mind when you hear 8 straight finals.
Isn't that, it's funny you bring that up, because isn't that what truly separates the great athletes from the generational or the best, like Tom Brady or Michael Jordan or whoever it might be. You know, we all say, whether you love him or hate him, you just have to say, yeah, that guy's the best. That's kind of where we're at now with LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. You like transcend normal kind of fan athlete relations where everyone just admires the guy to a degree because he forces you to, you know, I mean, he's been that good. And 15 seasons in, I think this playoffs, we're seeing the best version of him we've ever seen, if that's possible. I know it sounds like recency bias, and maybe it is if I take a deeper look and do a little bit more homework. But it really feels like this is a next level for a guy who we assumed didn't have a next level to get to.
Well, and the fact that he's doing that, it's not so much just that he's doing it at the age of 33, but you said it, is that it's in his 15th season in the NBA, mm-hmm. where a lot of guys are maybe on the other side of the peak and maybe starting to come down, right?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, too, I mean, he, this season, he led the league in minutes played. He played all 82 games, led the league in minutes played, and then he's going off and doing this in the playoffs, where, you know, he played 48 minutes, like you said last night. The game before, he played 46 minutes. It's just unreal. It's just unthinkable.
So where you think that this postseason, regardless of what happens in the next 4 to 7 games, do you think this postseason is where maybe the narrative changed for a lot of people when it comes to LeBron?
Definitely. I mean, in the sense that LeBron has, for a player as good as he is and as good as he has been, has a ton of haters because of I think, you know, when he went to Miami, definitely didn't gain many fans there outside of South Florida. The way he went back to Cleveland and some of the things like orchestrating the trades and getting his buddy signed to big contracts, people had reason not to root for the guy. But I think now, That's the big change. You know, when I think about it, that's the big change is everyone's rooting for him to a degree. I don't think anyone wants to see him fail like maybe they did mm-hmm. in years past.
Dave Zarum's with us from Sportsnet.ca. It's funny, we were talking about this a little earlier. This is his 8th consecutive trip to the finals, but you go back to his first finals appearance, which is not part of this 8th strain, in 2007, and that was a very mm-hmm. young LeBron James. He was still very early in his NBA career, but it kind of feels a lot like this year in that the group he had around him in Cleveland was not a high-end group, and he put that team on his back. That's kind of what we're seeing again, kind of bookending his finals appearances.
Yeah, totally, and that's an interesting way to put it, and I guess the difference is that, you know, he's that much more polished now. You know, then it was not easy to shut him down, but there's clear things you can do, you know, force him to shoot from outside, limit his space and all that kind of stuff. And it worked. You know, they got smoked by the Spurs, I think it was that year. Yep. Now he's kept adding to his game, and now he's just this unstoppable force. But like 2007, the cast around him is pretty lousy. And especially you think about Kevin Love being hurt. I'm not sure what his status will be in the finals. You know, you always kind of want to err on the side of caution with something like a concussion. But so he's carrying around this cast of role players, of kind of end of bench type players who around him are forced into far greater roles.
Can you give us a little bit more for those who maybe we talk about it all the time, say it's LeBron and everybody else, but can you give us a little bit of, especially after all the trade deadline changes Cleveland went through this year, just a thought as to just how much this team is centered on basically LeBron and LeBron only?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the players they put around him, players like Jeff Green, who in game 7 last night was forced to kind of be the Robin to LeBron's Batman. And Jeff Green is a guy who's been kind of, he had health, big health issues that kind of cut his career short, but he's always been an erratic kind of role player out of the NBA, except for his earliest years about a decade ago. Veterans like J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver, who are experienced players, but pretty one-dimensional, you know, shooters who have to be hot to be effective. A guy like Tristan Thompson, he had a double-double last night, but he's been a guy who's been completely unplayable depending on the matchup. And if you think about a potential matchup with a team like Golden State, for example, it's going to be hard to see him making the impact he had in this series here. So basically, he's just surrounded by a bunch of really flawed players who you know, their offense is LeBron drives, and these guys just wait to catch a pass and shoot. You know, often, and when they make the shots, it works. And Cleveland's a real tough team to beat. But the thing is, with those guys, is more often than not, I mean, they're just completely unreliable.
Taking a look at and was reading your article on LeBron earlier today. Can you kind of break down just how good he's been in the NBA Finals once he's gotten to this point? How well he's played on the biggest stage?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the interesting thing with LeBron is that he's lost more finals than he's won, that he's appeared in. But in every case, he's kind of relied on. And it's interesting, we heard it a lot when Cleveland was playing Toronto. When he played the Dallas Mavericks when he was with the Miami Heat in 2011, they did a really good job of stopping him, essentially. And they did what I was saying earlier. Like, they just basically made him shoot, forced him to cough up the ball. And that's what he said kind of motivated him to become a better shooter. Now he's such a shooting threat that in any series he's been in, he's been a killer scorer, an effective passer, a really strong rebounder. And you saw when they won the title a couple of years back, Kyrie Irving hit a really clutch shot to make them to seal the deal and actually win them that game. And they don't have a Kyrie Irving this year, obviously, beside LeBron. But you saw LeBron kind of sense of the moment play such a big impact when he had that block on Iguodala. And that's kind of what he brings to every finals he appears in. And it's why the Cavs are always a threat, even if their team is subpar around him.
If Cleveland ends up winning it all this year and wins the next four games they need to do, where does this rank for you? How does it kind of go down in history in terms of an individual performance carrying a team?
I don't know where it would rank. I can't think of, maybe you can think of what some of the other examples would be. But, I mean, I can't imagine it not being right near the top. It can't be kind of understated how flawed the team around him is. I mean, they're NBA players, so they're great at basketball, but really this is a decimated group, especially with Kevin Love out again. If he's not there, then, you know, he's an all-star, and if he's gone, then the talent level really drops off. And you kind of alluded to before, they made all these moves at the trade deadline and really changed up their team. But George Hill, their point guard, is really the only player of the group, of the four or five guys they got, who's playing a meaningful role in the series. Some of the other guys they've brought in to be kind of reliable guys are just unplayable. So it's really a one-man show. So if he carries this group to the finals and wins the title, the odds would be long. I'd be interested to see what the Vegas odds are. But, I mean, it's just so improbable. It would have to be one of the all-time carry him on his back kind of moments.
Dave Zarums with us from Sportsnet.ca on the big show this afternoon. So we don't know who Cleveland is going to play in the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. We'll know a little bit later on tonight. But knowing how good both Houston and Golden State are, regardless of who they play, how do you like Cleveland's chances in the NBA Finals?
Oh, they're going to be the underdog no matter what. And because the only thing they have going for it, and, you know, it's a significant thing, is LeBron. But those other two teams are really, really good. So, you know, you'll hear a lot of people say it, I'm sure, but tonight's Game 7 is, in essence, almost like watching the Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Because I think whichever team advances will be so far favored. The asterisk there is Chris Paul's injury. You know, if Houston wins tonight, and I would be surprised, but if Houston wins tonight and they're without Chris Paul, then it really becomes an interesting series where I think Cleveland would have a real chance, because the cast around James Harden has been up and down, and Harden himself, I think, hasn't served his best critics well. I mean, he completely disappeared in the second half of Game 6, very un-MVP like fashion, and so and he has he's a bad history of that in the playoffs. So against Houston, I like Cleveland's chances. But if Golden State wins, I think they just have too many weapons. And LeBron versus that team with Curry, Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, I can't see that happening.
Well, and you talked about a little bit there, knowing the status of Chris Paul, and yet knowing that the series is going to finish at the Toyota Center in Houston, you're still leaning Golden State's way tonight, though?
I still would be, yeah. I mean, I just think there's too much talent there. And again, you're pointing to Harden to really step up. And he's amazing the regular season. He's been amazing through huge stretches of the playoffs. But for me, he's just the guy who I just don't trust. You know, like LeBron's a hard, an unfair comparison. But, like, you expected LeBron to come up big, win or lose, last night. I don't feel comfortable expecting Harden to step up in that same kind of way, which I think is probably the biggest reason why I lean towards Golden State.
Final thought for you. What do you anticipate happens next for LeBron James, knowing how his contracts are seemingly always rolling year after year, and there's always that option? What's your anticipation as to where LeBron is, what situation he's in for next season?
It's interesting. He's got a lot of options. None of them are, you know, perfect or ideal. Before I would have said that, you know, if Cleveland can make it to the finals, he'll return, you know, because that, you know, the guys around him will prove that they're able to help him get to the finals, et cetera. But the way, you know, the way that they've gotten to the finals and how much work he's had to do here, I don't necessarily see him coming back, even though they've made it this far. And that's because a lot of that Cavs roster, a lot of really long, bad contracts, it's been really hard to change up the group around him in Cleveland. So I think I would, if I had to bet, I'd lean towards him heading to another team where he can kind of surround himself with a cast that lets him to take it a little bit easy, at least.
Dave, great article on sportsnet.ca today. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. That was great stuff.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Dave Zarum, sportsnet.ca, joining us on the program this afternoon. LeBron James is off to his 9th NBA Finals, his 8th consecutive trip to the final round in the NBA postseason. We'll find out tonight if it's Golden State or Houston that faces Cleveland to finish it all off. Game 7 tonight in Houston, 6 o'clock Calgary time from the Toyota Center.